Episode 12, Hydrogen Tree. Early on a May morning, for the first time, the students of the Keeper of Knowledge were not in a hurry for their upcoming conversation. Instead, they leisurely strolled through the garden, which was located next to the temple. The sage himself had told them the day before that their next conversation would be dedicated to trees, and they should be prepared. The task given by the Keeper of Knowledge was simple: to walk through the garden, carefully observing the phenomena happening within it. A little over an hour had passed since dawn. Nature had already shaken off its nocturnal slumber. Birds greeted the new day with joyful songs, and flowers bloomed, sensing the morning warmth. Sun rays played on the dew-covered leaves of the trees, streaming down through the air, covering everything around them in a golden glow. The garden paths led to a cherry tree, which spread its branches in a smoky pink magnificence. It had already entered the late stage of its flowering and generously scattered fallen petals under the feet of the students, adding a subtle fragrance of its flowers to the fresh spring air. The students did not count how much time they spent in their leisurely walk through the garden, listening, observing, sometimes wordlessly pointing out to each other the playing nestlings or the blossoming flower buds. But that time was brief. For the attainment of elevated impressions, only attention and concentration mattered. The students felt a spiritual uplift and appeasement in each other, and soon they all headed to the Temple of Knowledge, lightly rustling through the grass with their steps. The sage was already waiting for them on the stage, greeting them with a warm smile full of love and acceptance. Behind the stage, there was a painting depicting a tree and its inherent hydrogens. The students had already noticed that each of the hydrogens was indicated, meaning that the conversation would be long but no less interesting. "Beloved teacher, does it mean that a tree has a soul?" exhaled one of the students, a tall, blonde girl with hazel eyes, as they all settled down and, examining the painting, turned their gazes to the Keeper of Knowledge. "It's so amazing." "Yes, you are right, Zhenya. Trees do indeed have a soul," the teacher nodded to her. "Even scientists say so after conducting experiments with them. They approach one tree with a saw, and it reacts with fear. They approach another, and the first tree experiences anxiety about it. The soul of a tree consists of H24 and H48, which are its intellectual and emotional centers, but it also has consciousness. God H1 separates a fragment of consciousness from himself and places it within the tree, thus creating the possibility of experiencing a unique kind of knowledge that only the life of a tree can provide. Initially, Shakti created trees in the non-material sense, giving them subtle bodies, causal, mental, astral, and so on. When there was an opportunity to create physical bodies for them, on those planets where the conditions allowed it, trees began to materialize. At these words, some of the students exchanged astonished glances. They saw the invisible, subtle bodies of trees, which their imagination depicted as colorful radiance. How many times in their childhood had they read about aliens and civilizations from other planets? How many images of space taken from the surface of other planets had they examined? Yet, the most important things were invisible to the eye. Yes, scientists once again searched for something without understanding the essence of things, without truly knowing themselves, the teacher added with a smile, observing the reaction of his students. Now let's move on. Here is a seed, hydrogen 6. It contains all the lower hydrogens that make up a mature tree. When it finds the right conditions, fertile soil, a whole tree grows from a small seed. First, a tiny stem no bigger than a blade of grass, then leaves, a root system, and with time, the tree begins to bloom and bear fruit. The flowers are the reproductive organs of plants, hydrogen 12, representing sexual energy. You walked through the garden. Did you see how the flowers were blossoming? Yes, teacher. The first to respond was a young, blue-eyed girl with long chestnut hair that reached almost to her waist. And the birds are singing. We can even hear them from here. And their singing is a love song, which means it's also sexual energy, right? Absolutely right, Jana. The Keeper of Knowledge nodded to her. Sexual energy paints everything around it with bright colors, arouses interest, and provides the stimulus to act. Like any living organism, a tree processes low-level hydrogen obtained from food into higher levels. The fruit is H728, the air is H192, the flower is H12, and the seed is H6. That's the result of its work. Teacher, how is it that the seed is H6 but the fruit is only H728? Jana asked her new question. Plant fruits serve as food for both seeds and humans and animals, the sage explained with a smile. But the trees themselves eat more subtle food. For example, sunlight, H96, is the basis of their diet. No other living creature feeds on such high energy as sunlight, an energy as subtle as its own biofield. However, we must not forget about water. The tree instinctively seeks it with its motor center, storing moisture in its body. It turns its leaves towards the light, opens its flowers in the morning, and bears fruits in due time. These are manifestations of the tree's instinctive and motor centers. And when the time comes for the tree to die, it separates from its subtle bodies, leaving only the timber. H1536. Hearing these words, many students became melancholic, as the life of a tree seemed so beautiful to them. The keeper of knowledge did not leave them in their sadness, and sent them the energy of love and acceptance in that moment. Beloved teacher, could you tell us more about plant seeds? Can they transmit subtle hydrogen, H6, to us, or does it simply disappear when it reaches our stomach? A strong-built young man with ash-russet hair and expressive green eyes asked another question. No, Andre, we cannot obtain H6 through our stomach. For humans, seeds and nuts are simply food. A worm, on the other hand, eats everything that comes its way, including seeds, but it does not produce nor can produce any H6, the sage answered. Furthermore, H6, which appeared not on an octave of impressions, but in another way, can be harmful to us. For instance, new life from an egg cell and sperm does not always develop as it should, and a woman can die while carrying the child. Yes, teacher, Andre sighed. That's what happened to my aunt. The child died in the womb. Fortunately, they managed to pull out the baby, and my aunt survived. But she has not recovered from the sorrow until now, and my grandmother used to work in an ambulance. She saw many similar cases. I wish such things would stop happening. Every time I think about it, I start praying to God for mercy. You are doing the right thing, Andre, the keeper of knowledge replied with a smile, sending boundless and all-embracing love energy to the frustrated young man. Instead of burdening your aunt with useless consolations, you have decided to grow and pray for her. You have rejected the fate of the worm and strive for the life of an angel. That's how it is possible to generate high hydrogen, H6, inside you, through elevated impressions. When Buddha witnessed human suffering, he decided to change himself first before helping others. At that moment, the sage fell silent and looked on his audience with an attentive and warm gaze. Yes, I see that you want to know how Buddha reached enlightenment and discovered Buddhism. He did the same thing that everyone should do if they decide to reject the life of a worm. He sought and obtained the most sublime impressions through which he awakened and developed his higher emotional center. The most sublime feelings and impressions correspond to hydrogen 12, and when hydrogen 6 appears, the higher intellectual center starts functioning, enabling great discoveries. Without the octave of impressions, it cannot be awakened. Only through the octave of impressions can hydrogen 12, the hydrogen of the brightest impressions, be transformed into hydrogen 6, the hydrogen of enlightenment. And worms have their own octave. Jana returned to the conversation when the keeper of knowledge paused again to give his followers an opportunity to express their thoughts. And it happens to people too if they coalesce with the worm. I want to bring my acquaintance to you. She has heard about your teaching, and it seems like she wants to change, but she can't do anything about it. At first, she went out into nature, received elevated impressions, but then she sat down to watch television. That's what happens when a person identifies with the essence of a worm. The sage shook his head. The worm's impressions, like sleeping, eating, going to the toilet, are the strongest for it, and they drag it into the swamp. But we must live as the angel that exists within us, receive elevated impressions, and through them, obtain hydrogen 6, which brings enlightenment and great discoveries. Teacher, what if I try to turn on the Ashram Gita or some other divine chants for my acquaintance to listen to? Maybe it will touch her somehow. After all, some motivation to grow does occasionally shine through in her. Jhana pondered and sighed. You can turn it on, but who will tune her attention to it? After all, even the emotional center is not developed in people leading such a life. Hydrogen 48 is rarely produced, let alone everything else, the Keeper of Knowledge replied. And we should never forget hydrogen 48. Make sure that our attention doesn't slip away, and then activate emotional perception so that hydrogen 24 emerges. Only then will the Ashram Gita be more than just background music for us. It will inspire us to improve ourselves and obtain even higher levels of hydrogen. Beloved teacher, a beautiful young woman with striking Eastern features, whose blue eyes were remarkably captivating, joined the conversation. Aren't we ourselves similar to a seed? Like it, if we don't land in fertile soil, we perish. You think absolutely right, Margarita, the sage praised his student. We need suitable soil. There is an analogy in Christ's teachings. A seed fell on good soil and eventually became a tree, while those that fell by the wayside were pecked by birds or trampled by people, and the seed that fell on poor ground perished over time. The trampled seed represents a person who hears the teaching, but earthly concerns consume all their attention, and they quickly forget about the teaching. The seed that perished in bad soil symbolizes someone who initially follows the teaching, but turns away when persecution arises, when people around them claim they are foolish and their path is wrong. Such a person is like a young tree on rocky ground. They fail to send down roots and establish themselves in the soil. All this is because they don't consider the teaching as a means of development. For them, it is merely one of many impressions. And when someone starts criticizing the teaching, they receive a new impression that replaces the previous one, erasing it from memory. Only negativity remains. Oh yes, I'm familiar with that, Margarita spoke, barely containing the trembling in her voice. My mother's friend, well, more of an acquaintance, found out that I decided to practice yoga. Since then, she's been hounding me. Recently, I bought myself a pair of shoes, beautiful, well-made ones from a brand that prioritizes ethical production and doesn't force its employees to overwork. So, Margarita paused, collecting her thoughts, and the teacher, sensing her inner anguish, sent her boundless energy of love and understanding. Well, she started saying that I'm a hypocrite and a liar, pretending to be good while squandering money and deceiving people, the girl continued, encouraged by the support of the Keeper of Knowledge. And all because of a pair of shoes. Thankfully, my mother proved wiser and stood by my side, cutting ties with that acquaintance. Unfortunately, Margarita, this often happens. Instead of showing interest in the teaching, many people seek out any perceived flaw and immediately focus all their attention on it. For example, Osho once bought 98 Rolls Royces. An ironic smile played on the sage's lips as he spoke. And suddenly, this relatively unknown spiritual teacher became a press sensation. Everyone only talked about those cars, while the essence of Osho's teachings, his words, and his guidance were of no concern to any of these people. If we look at it from a different perspective, without embracing the negative impression, it all appears to be dreadful foolishness. Margarita shook her head. It's just unfortunate for those disciples who fell for all that negativity and became like the seeds that fell on bad soil. Teacher, may I share my story? A tall, slender man with black hair and dark brown eyes raised his hand. When the sage nodded, he continued. I had a childhood friend who ended up in a psychiatric hospital, and when his parents were going through his belongings, they found a book with your teachings that I had once given him. And then it started. You got him involved in a cult, forced him to take drugs, drained his last money. Naturally, nobody listened to me. But the truth was different. My friend was an unwanted child. His parents were constantly arguing. His father even abused his mother. It was already a pleasant atmosphere, and Slava grew up as a withdrawn, insecure child. Except me, he had no friends, but he didn't even fully trust me. And it so happened that he once met a very charming girl who, at first, was very kind to him. He fell head over heels in love with her, and then, well, as usual, the girl started criticizing him, calling him lost, said that she was disappointed in him, and in the end, she left him. I tried to help Slava. That's when I gave him that very book, but my friend didn't listen to me. Thankfully, he ended up in a hospital instead of throwing himself in front of a train, as he had promised many times. Ruslan, you shouldn't blame yourself, spoke the Keeper of Knowledge, sensing the sorrow and bitterness in his student, and sent him boundless energy of love and acceptance. The influence of parents turned out to be the strongest in your friend's life. That was that bad soil in which the seeds perished. And how many stories like this I know. How many people, instead of seeking understanding, reading books, reflecting, latch onto the first negative impression. One might think that understanding a fiction book like Life After Life or Mystery, An Untold Story of Love, doesn't require much effort. But no, many people have become entwined with gossip, filth, and hostility. That's the bad soil where their seeds grow. But good soil grants a person understanding and conscience. With their help, activating the intellectual center, a person can soberly evaluate everything that happens and make decisions based on that. A person will thoroughly analyze everything first, read books, listen to divine chants, perform all spiritual practices. And then, based on the impressions they received from them, this person forms their own opinion about the school, compares it with others, and decides which one is better, which one fosters faster development, and which one is slower. That's how good, proper soil reveals itself, where a person's seed takes root. So, we need to align ourselves with a serious perception and set an example for others through our own actions, Ruslan asked when the teacher fell silent, waiting for new questions. You're absolutely right, the sage nodded. There should be a serious attitude towards how we perceive the school, how we try to understand the teaching, the impressions we gain from our encounters, the songs we sing, and the music we listen to. That's what should be studied, not gossip. What someone wears, what car they drive, what jewelry they have, does that have anything to do with the school? Only very ignorant people would prefer someone else's shallow judgment over their own sober impressions. Indeed, it's just a sick society, Jana returned to the conversation. Such people only have spiteful envy and vain consumerism. And if they buy something expensive, it won't bring them any benefit. They clutter their homes with unnecessary junk, and their expensive car becomes nothing more than an object of boasting, a status symbol. But the school can use such possessions for the greater cause, and that's not difficult to understand. Gossip feeds on envy, but there is more rigidity of perception in them, the teacher replied. Instead of their own impressions of the teaching, the books they've read, the spiritual practices they've undertaken, and their own attempts to evolve, people rely on someone else's judgment. Everyone who drives such and such car is bad, yet that judgment was invented for them. People should personally acquaint themselves with different teachings, compare their impressions, see where progress is faster, where it's slower, where it's more complete, and where it's only partial. That's a normal and sensible estimation, and judging and condemning based on personal belongings is only caused by delusion. So it turns out that there are students who come to the school impulsively, guided by fleeting impulses, Jana continued. They came to school today, and tomorrow someone tells them that the school is bad and they abandon it. The day after tomorrow, they're told to invest their savings in some pyramid scheme, and they lose all their savings. But they can't think about engaging in business magic and earning money in a legal way. And it's clear that it's not the school that deceived them, but their own foolishness. That's right, the sage smiled at her. Instead of condemnation, we should study. Instead of allowing ourselves to be carried along by someone else's opinion, we should think for ourselves and trust our own impressions. We see something unusual, like those 98 Rolls Royces, and we start investigating rather than succumbing to someone else's negativity. And then our seed will find itself in the right soil, and we will be able to grow into a magnificent tree." The conversation came to an end, and the attention and boundless love of the Keeper of Knowledge helped the students overcome the bitterness of others' malice and envy that they had encountered in life. As a parting message, the teacher recited a spiritual poem, "Fatigued." He descended upon the earth, a distant wanderer journeying somewhere. He told us from where he came, what he had seen, having once taken a staff. "But doubtful is how much you learned. Distracted by a swarm of objects, your attention weakened. What did you understand from their signs? Lost consciousness, weary settled, exhausted by the long road. No matter how many versts you walk in the valley, you will reach your sorrowful end. Wanted to discover the essence of the paths and wandered along the thorny road, but you failed to discover yourself and hastily forgot about God. Even if you walk 100 roads or forest trails, you will never truly understand their essence, for their essence lies within you. Yet as you travel far with each step, you lose yourself.